Let's recap what we discussed previously. A few days have lapsed, and then we commence or we take the discussion further. Suratul Mu'minun, we last discussed verses 91 and 92, which brought us to the end of the fifth ruku of the surah. Verse 91, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما اتخذ الله من ولد وما كان معه من إله إذا لذهب كل إله بما خلق ولا على بعضهم على بعض سبحان الله عما يصفون. Allah did not take unto himself any offspring, nor is there any god along with him. Had this been the case, each god would have taken away whatever he had created, and they would have tried to overcome each other. Allah is above all that they attribute to him. So we explain that Allah alone is the owner and the master of the heavens and the earth and every single atom that is therein. Allah doesn't have a son. Allah doesn't have a helper. There's no other sovereign. Had there been anyone else with Allah as a deity, then there would have been chaos. Each would be trying to outwit the other or claim from the other's territory, and there would be absolute chaos. عالم الغيب والشهادة فتعالى عما يشركون. Knower of the seen, or knower of the unseen and the visible, is far above that which they ascribe to him. So Allah has that kind of power, all-encompassing knowledge. Nothing is concealed from him. How can you then associate partners with him in his attributes? Allah is far beyond that which they associate with him. Now we start ruku number 6, which is the final ruku of Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah says in verse 93, قُلْ رَبِّ إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُوعَدُونَ. Say, O sustainer, if you were to show me that which was promised to them, رَبِّ فَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي فِي الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, then, O sustainer, do not include me among those wrongdoing people. So Allah had promised Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah will not punish them in totality whilst you are amongst them. Allah won't wipe out everyone as long as you are amongst them. However, it doesn't mean that Allah cannot punish some of them. So in this verse, Allah is teaching Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and by extension teaching the ummah that make the dua, O Allah, if the wrongdoers are to be punished, then don't include me in that punishment. If the wrongdoers are to be punished, even though all of them would not be punished collectively where they're all wiped out, that won't happen. But if the wrongdoers are to be punished, let me not be included in them. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً فَتَوَفَّنِي غَيْرَ مَفْتُونَ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us the supplication as well in the hadith, that, O Allah, when you decide to test a nation, then let me die without being tested. Allah says in Surah Al-Anfal, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً, that continually guard yourself against a sedition which will not afflict the wrongdoers among you alone. In a hadith is mentioned that we could also be punished when others are punished, but then each one will be resurrected upon his niyyah, meaning in the year after, then you will still be considered a true believer if indeed you were a true believer. But it's better not to be included in that. Hence, the Quran is telling us and the hadith teaches us to make that dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَن نُرِيَكَ مَا نَعِدُهُمْ لَقَادِرُونَ. We have the power to show you what we had promised them. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ. Repel evil with that which is best. We know very well that which they attribute. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have the power to punish them for their wrongdoing, for their insolence, for their stubbornness, for their arrogance in front of you right now. However, our plan does not necessitate that we do that immediately. Secondly, your high status and impeccable character demand that their evil be repelled with good as far as possible, and that you do not be provoked by their drivel. As Allah talks about the same in the 24th juz of the Quran al-Kareem, where Allah says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَسَيَّةُ. Evil and good are not equal. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنْ. Always respond in a manner which is better. Then verse 97, Allah says, وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. And say, O sustainer, I seek your refuge from the promptings of the Satans, the devils. So in the preceding verses, Allah was telling us how to deal with the devils in human form. Now Allah is telling us about the shayateen, the devils from amongst the jinn. There we seek direct protection in Allah. That's the most effective protection against the jinn, because they are invisible to us. وَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّ أَن يَحْضُرُونَ. I seek refuge in you, O sustainer, that they come near to me. Because once they come near to me, then they are more likely to interfere with me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught a dua. For example, when the shayateen, the devils amongst the jinnat, trouble you in a dream, that we should recite three times. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من غضبه وعقابه وشر عباده ومن همزات الشياطين ويحترون. Similar wording in the end of this dua to what is in the verse. That I seek refuge with all the words of Allah from His wrath, His punishment, from the evil of His bondsmen, from the evil whisperings of the shayateen, and that they should approach me. And that they should approach me. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu suffered from insomnia. And he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Nabi of Allah taught him this dua, and he would recite this dua, and then he was able to sleep, and he was able to overcome his insomnia. So what we learn here is that we should be seeking Allah's protection against the shayateen, the evil from the jinnat. And we should be seeking Allah's protection, that if Allah decides to punish a nation because of their wrongdoing, that Allah should not include us amongst them.